No one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have, will be taken from them. Now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. So someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside, wanting to see you." He replied, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice."
Father, we do pray now that the light of your word would indeed shine brightly into our hearts, that we would not resist that light, that we would willingly allow it to expose our lives. We pray that your Holy Spirit, through your light, would generate in us faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ and love toward one another. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. And I have open the passage that was read for us a moment ago from Luke chapter 8, the passage that Jonathan read, page 1037, if you'd like to follow that in the church Bibles. Well, it was recently admitted by the Slovenian Ski Association that they had fiddled the results of Olympic qualifying to allow the famous violinist Vanessa May to compete for Thailand at the Sochi Winter Olympics. Vanessa May had been the first ever downhill skier to represent the country of Thailand at an Olympic Games. In the giant slalom she competed in, she finished last. But her qualification for the Games was shown to be bogus. It wasn't real. As a result, a number of Thai officials have been reprimanded for requesting the fix to happen, and May herself has been banned from competitive skiing for 4 years, a ban she is now appealing. Around about the same time this news was emerging, it was also announced that the British supermarket giant Tesco had been massively overstating its profits for a number of years. Profits had been overinflated by a staggering £250 million, an accounting anomaly of massive proportion. A number of senior figures within the supermarket have had to stand down as truth of its real earnings has become known. And what these incidents tell us and show us is that the truth really does matter. And yet so often the truth is far from our eyes. It remains hidden. It remains unseen. And truth be known, for many of us, in many instances, we often prefer it that way, especially when the truth that's hidden is about us. How many of us here today, deep down, would feel ashamed if other people knew what we had been up to this week, the way that we'd spoken to members of our family, the internet sites we had visited, the television shows we have been watching, the gossip we had participated in, the slander? If people knew all that there was to know about us, who here would unashamedly turn up for church every Sunday? And if the truth about us ever did come out, how many of us would instinctively appeal, want to provide some excuse or explanation, not admitting our fault? I don't know about you, but I think I would have to put my own hand up. There would be at least some effort at self-justification on my part, some kind of explanation. For instinctively, we want the truth, the deep secrets about ourselves, to remain hidden. Rather than deep and authentic relationships, which can only come through the attributes of honesty, confession, repentance, and forgiveness, we'd much rather settle for a more superficial form of relationship, which is a lot less painful on the surface at least, because in that context of relationship, we can remain hidden. We don't allow anyone to discover the real me. They can discover who I would like to be. They can discover how I present myself to be on something like Facebook, but the real ugly me, the warts and all me, I'll keep hidden and unmined deep below the surface. The Bible says plainly we are all natural hiders. We're desperate to keep the truth about ourselves hidden. Just like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden after the fall, in relation to God, we hide. And in relation to one another, We blame, often not ourselves, but each other. And I want to say to you today, isn't that such a tiring and an exhausting way in which to live? To always present a persona, to have to work so very hard in covering up the bad bits in our lives, to be, like the proverbial swan, pretty and pristine on the surface, all dressed up outwardly here at church, but under the water, away from people's eyes, working like crazy to cover up the truth about ourselves. Isn't that exhausting? Isn't it frightening? Frightening that essentially other people have such control over our lives that we feel we cannot be completely honest with them about ourselves. And probably to feel as a consequence, we don't really belong. We're not truly part of things. We feel on edge and not included. You often think you're the only person who thinks these things about yourself here at church. Well, I want to suggest to you this morning that we nearly all do. We feel a loneliness and an emptiness, often related to the fact that deep down we're afraid of what people might do when they discover what we're really like. Now, what is the secret of allowing the truth to be known about ourselves? What's the remedy for removing all the sham and pretense in our lives? And what is the way of finding belonging and relationship within a church family? True belonging, true integrity, true openness. Well, throughout this term, we've been spending Sunday mornings in Luke's Gospel, and we've come to the final sermon in this present series, looking at Luke chapter 8. And we've seen throughout the Gospel, Jesus Christ imparts truth. He draws near with great love and compassion to those who are humble and willing to acknowledge the truth about themselves. But to those who are proud, he condemns and he judges. Excuse me. Let me remind you of how our series began back in Luke chapter 6. It started, you might remember, with Jesus saying, "Blessed are the poor, for yours is the kingdom of God, but woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort." Now, what Jesus is saying is recognize the truth about yourself and you will be blessed. You will be saved. But ignore the truth, fail to admit your great need before God, and he will ignore and condemn you. This is the truth Jesus reveals. And it's a truth that comes to us today in this passage in two parts. The first relates to true light. True light is our first point for today in verses 16 to 18. Jesus says to his hearers in verse 16 these words, "No one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have, will be taken from them." Again, as we saw clearly from the passage last week, the emphasis here is on listening. Consider carefully how you listen, Jesus says in verse 18. And the reason given for that is that Jesus is light. His word illumines. It lights up and exposes what has previously been hidden. Now, to demonstrate this, Jesus uses the illustration of a lamp in verse 16. No lamp or light is intended to be hidden, either in a clay jar or under a bed. On the contrary, it's intended to light up and it's intended to expose the whole room. And that is the function and purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ. For his word, in the very same way, exposes. It makes plain and visible what has previously been hidden. There are occasions at home when I'm downstairs and I hear a raucous laughter coming from upstairs, that frenzied laughter children are so good at. My suspicions grow even stronger when I ascend the stairs to discover the door to the room from which this laughter is coming is closed. I open the door to find the curtains are drawn, the light is switched off and the laughter increasing. I switch on the light and all is exposed. The room is a mess, the duvets are on the floor, and under them, in pitch darkness, all manner of tickling and wrestling is taking place. And that's just Corin. But seriously, do you see what the light does? It exposes. It makes plain what was previously unknown and kept hidden. On the serious subject of Corin, she was recently in London visiting her dad, and a couple of days later we received an official-looking letter in the post. It was bringing notice of a traffic infringement which had taken place. And Corin's immediate response, of course, was, "I didn't do that. There must be some kind of mistake." But the letter actually invited us to visit a website which showed a video of what had happened. It's remarkable. Corin driving our car through a no entry. Now, who'd be a preacher's wife to have your sins publicly announced from the pulpit? But Jesus says, in the same way, in verse 17, there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Now, Corin was sincere. She thought she'd done nothing wrong, but actually she was mistaken, and the video proved that. And Jesus is saying the same here. The light, in the end, will expose you. Even if you think you're okay at the moment, the light will always expose. And Jesus, in his word, is that true light. Now, there are some commentators who think the light that Jesus speaks about here refers to the disciples themselves entrusted with his gospel, and they must allow this gospel light to shine forth by sharing it, and surely that's true. But first and foremost, the light here is Jesus himself, which reveals and exposes our own lives. With him, you see, our number is up, the charade has ended, pretense is stripped away, and the truth is revealed. Now, do you remember what the Samaritan woman at the well said of Jesus in John chapter 4? She invited others who spoke with her to come and meet a man who knew all that she had ever done. He is the true light who exposes and reveals everything. He knows all in a manner that can truly humble and liberate and not condemn or enslave. But what Jesus goes on to say here in verse 18 is a warning to us. Again, reading in verse 18, he says, "Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have, will be taken from them." Now, do you see what that teaches us? It shows to us there is a strong element of dangerous self-deception embedded in our human nature. Because in the words of Jesus, we can think we have something. We can think we're okay in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can think we know ourselves and know God. But actually, if we're not willing to admit what we're truly like, any knowledge or privilege we think we have in relation to God will be taken away. Now, I think what this passage is saying is that the more times we deftly avoid the light, we fail to own up to what it truly reveals about us, the harder it will actually be to ever come into the light of our own will and volition. But, if we show signs of humility, if we recognize the truth about ourselves in a way that is welcoming and honoring to God, even more of that glorious and wonderful truth will be opened up to us. Even more of God's goodness and grace will be given. And Jesus isn't talking here about some kind of false modesty, because he is the true light. He can penetrate and probe beyond all that. Now, what he's saying to us here is that his gospel didn't come into the world to be hidden and to be ineffective. No, it came to expose. And that's what it's doing right now in the lives of us all. Either we allow it to happen and confess all our sin now, or we run and we hide and we wait until the end, when the truth will really catch up with us. But the longer we run and the faster we hide, the danger we face is that it actually becomes harder to turn back to God. But the light will expose us in the end. So aren't you today simply tired of hiding? Isn't it just possible you've come to church this morning and you do not have a right view of yourself? Isn't it possible, just like Corin, that you are convinced you are in the right, that you are clear? Isn't it perhaps possible that the word Jesus speaks is intended and it's relevant for you. But you and I are in serious danger of thinking otherwise. Well, Jesus says, consider carefully today how you listen, and whoever has ears to hear, let them hear, for the day will arrive when the letter is received in the post and the video is shown. The day will come when the Heavenly Father will arrive on the landing and switch on the light in a manner which is unavoidable, and the truth, the full truth, will be exposed and revealed in us all. Now, you and I are afraid of the light. We'll do anything to avoid it, but we must understand it's the light that truly does liberate, that brings wonderful peace, that restores and does heal, that means the race to hide can now end before it's too late. And so Jesus Christ is saying to you today, come to the light, come to me, accept the full truth about yourself, no longer hide, and receive from me the light, forgiveness and grace. Don't run away, because the light will catch you in the end and condemn you. Rather, enter the light now while it's offering to you salvation. And if you do, you will experience, secondly, what Jesus calls true family. True family. It kind of makes sense. If we run away and we hide from God, it's not only creating distance between us and God, it's also going to create distance between one another. Hiding from God disrupts fellowship with each other. And this is what we see under this second point of true family in verses 19 to 21. The gospel writer Luke tells us this in verse 19. Now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near because of the crowd. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you." He replied, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." Where do we find the true belonging and relationship we so desperately desire and long for? Where do we discover true family? We discover it, says Jesus, by listening carefully together to his own words. Now, the situation here is that Jesus' own mother and brothers are outside looking for him. They can't get to Jesus because of the size of the crowd. When Jesus is alerted to the fact that this is what's happening, Jesus responds, defining who his true family really are. And in doing that, we must understand he's not denigrating biological links, nor is he encouraging us to ever do the same. The Bible is full of commands stating that parents in particular are to be respected, cared for and honoured. Children are to be loved and looked after. Jesus himself was the model son to his biological mother when even at the cross he considered her future and he sought out one of his own disciples to take particular care of her needs when he had departed. We read about that in John chapter 19. Jesus was never anti-family in that sense. But he identified a link that was even stronger. A link between those who together have ears to hear his very own words. It's the bond we later discover comes from the Spirit. The bond that joins us as believers not only to Christ as our brother, but to one another as well, as brothers and sisters in Christ. My mother and brothers are those, says Jesus, who hear God's word and who together put it into practice. This is the bond the Lord Jesus creates. For surely, if we become more honest to God about ourselves, we can begin to become more honest with each other. Surely, if the light of Jesus fills and illumines our lives, that light spills over to others as well. Surely, if we experience the love and the mercy of Christ, something of love and mercy is generated among its recipients. That is, you and me, if together we hear and put into practice the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you might say at times this church here is hardly a family, not when there are tensions and conflict, not when we let one another down and cause one another hurt or neglect each other. But sadly in this age, families are like that. It isn't yet perfect in this age. But what is being formed, which will stand fast in the age to come, is an irreversible bond stronger than any biological union, for it is permanent, it is deep, and it is real. And it's precisely this fact that makes it all the more hard when we do sin against and hurt one another. Now, do you want to belong? Do you want to have true brothers and sisters, parents as well? Well, it comes, says Jesus, by stepping forward into the light, acknowledging the truth the Lord Jesus pronounces about you, by hearing his word and putting it into practice. And what this teaches us also is that it isn't enough just to have some kind of religious association with Jesus. It isn't enough to mark Christian on the census form and be attached to a church. It isn't enough just to have a Thanksgiving service as a child. It means hearing and putting into practice the words of Jesus and helping others around you to do the same. It means living your life in the open, no longer pretending or putting on a sham, rather opening your heart to both God and each other, so that we no longer live life darting in shadows, afraid to come out, frightened to love, or ever become vulnerable. In his first letter, the Apostle John writes in 1 John 1, verse 6, "If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another." Or a little later in 1 John 2, verses 9 to 11, the same apostle writes this: "Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they are going because the darkness has blinded them." How do we know if the light of Jesus has really entered? It's revealed, says John, in our relationship as family, our relationships with one another, fellow believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if our relationships are persistently marred, structurally flawed and beyond all repair, if we continually harbour in our hearts great anger and hatred toward others, if we fail to recognise any wrong we have done or the harm we have genuinely created, the danger, says John, and Jesus as well, is that we are resisting in the light. Indeed, the light is not in us. Instead, we have the outward appearance of belonging to Christ, for we come along to church and we say all the things that are expected of us, but constantly in our hearts we are backpedaling from God and from others. We are refusing to acknowledge our sins before God. We are refusing to love one another. If that is you, says Jesus, then even what you think you have will be taken away. For there will come a time when the backpedaling will have to end, you'll be trapped in a corner, and the hatred you feel in your heart toward God and toward others will no longer be allowed to remain hidden. Whoever has ears to hear, says Jesus, let them hear. Consider carefully today how you listen. Jesus' own mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. I strongly suspect here this morning there are likely to be two kinds of people. There are those with a conscience that is very sensitive and tender. You hear a sermon like this and you're acutely aware of the many inconsistencies in your life, areas of wrongdoing, and you immediately worry. You painfully know you don't always love others as you should. You're even acutely conscious of areas in your life where you are resistant to God. For you, a sermon like this can be very disturbing, for it brings with it guilt and much shame, anxiety, panic, loneliness, and great worry. If those things in any way describe you, then the remedy is clear and the relief is soothing and real. Simply come to the Lord Jesus Christ and confess all your sin. Be like the sinful woman who anointed Jesus with oil. Confess freely and openly and know Christ loves you and Christ forgives you. It may even be some of your guilt is not warranted. We can live and with false guilt, you know, guilt we ourselves have falsely created. But even if your guilt is true, in Jesus you continue to have a Saviour who has paid for it all and whose love for you is unconditional. And sure, he brings forgiveness, which means right now at his feet, tears of repentance can fall and he will never turn you away. For the tender-hearted among us, those with the conscience so easily stricken, those who need no convincing at all, they are unworthy, the poor, Jesus would call them, you are blessed, he says. His love for you is just so strong, his grace unconditional. So receive love and forgiveness from his soothing hand. Pursue the channels he makes available to you of faith and repentance. Drink from his life-giving stream once again. Receive blessing and peace. And utilize the gift he has given of a church family. Speak with trusted brothers and sisters and share with them your heart. Open up about your wrongdoing and ask sincerely for prayer. To people like that, this is what the passage is saying. But then there will almost certainly be other people here today as well. There will be some for whom this word today does not mean a lot, at least not as they perceive for themselves. Perhaps it's a relevant word to others, they might think, a timely word for some, but a word to which they themselves do not need to respond. No self-examination is required at all. No conscience is pricked or any form of discomfort is felt because they think beyond a shadow of all doubt they themselves are doing okay. Oh, they're not perfect, but they're doing okay. They're quite quick to see the faults in others, but hardly attach any blames to themselves. In their own eyes, they're pretty much doing just fine. Whereas in reality, Jesus says they're deaf and they're blind and in very real danger. And what will happen to the self-assured and secure like these, the rich, Jesus would call them, is that even what they think they have, if they remain as they are, will be taken away. Now, brothers and sisters, with all seriousness, are we truly listening? Could any of this morning be describing you? Do we need to be awakened and have our conscience, which we may have spent a lifetime hardening, softened once again by the call and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? It's imperative we realise that is so, if it is the case. Because this passage says, the Lord Jesus Christ says, each time we hear this word and are asked to consider, am I hardening my heart? Am I retreating further and further into darkness and shadow? Am I resisting the light? Am I resisting others? The harder it becomes to ever step forward into the light. And our powers of denial and self-deception are massive. We see them very clearly in others. But do we see them in ourselves? And let me just say that this is where true family comes in as well. Because I can be blind to things I am doing or the harm I may be causing to others, I need others around me to point things out. Not in an accusing or a self-righteous manner, but in a way that is gentle and loving, a way that has my best interests and the interests of others always at heart. We don't want to become a congregation of nitpickers who fail to see the massive logs in our own eyes whilst we're busy getting the speck out of the eyes of everyone else. But we need love. We do need honesty and truth spoken in love. We need appropriate admonishment. We need grace and humility, loving and earnest encouragement to keep bringing our hearts and our lives into the light. For though that light is often so painful, it is good and it is pure. It brings relief to our souls, it casts out darkness, and it generates fellowship. And if you think this word in no way applies to you today at all, Jesus says, whoever has ears, let them hear. Consider carefully, please consider carefully how you listen to what I say.